Welcome to the Going Green podcast, and today we're going to have a look at the cost of living crisis. It's in the news at the moment, and what we want to try and do is have a look at basically what you can do about it and basically, you know, explain what's really going on. It took us a lot of effort. My sister-in-law used to work in the electricity generation industry, and we had a chat with her and trying to basically wheedle out from her what was going on. She was still saying that she didn't really quite understand some of these things. She tried to explain it to me, and so we've done a lot more research on this to try and find out, you know, why is gas costing so much more, which is fairly easy actually, and how much it's going up, and perhaps some of the things that we can actually do and mitigate this in some way.
Now,
so let's ask the first question. What on earth is this sort of cap that's being put in place, right, and we're all talking about?
Now, let's do a little bit of history, right? So before 2019, there was no gas cap, right? Which meant, of course, companies could charge any amount for their rate of how much a unit of energy, either gas or electricity, could cost.
Now, these costs are actually divided basically into two bits, aren't they? Effectively, there's how much it costs to actually buy the gas, and then there's another bit, which let's call it the standing charge, which is how much the company pay for all the infrastructure.
Yeah, because so we've got here in the UK, we've got sort of the National Grid for Electricity, which basically means that a suppliers pump energy into the grid
from a power station
and then consumers, you know, basically, you know, take it out of the system to you know, power their belongings and whatever they want to power. Okay, so in theory, the national grid has to hold as much power as can be drawn from it at once. So, you know,
and to work out who does what, basically the power stations know how much energy they've generated, and you've got in your home a little meter which says how much you've actually used. And if we add up all the homes and all the industry in the grid, the amount in should equal the amount out.
Correct. And there's another problem where, additionally, let's say you do consume more power than your company, who you say you're getting your electricity supply from, then, you know, your drawer took out 20, but they only put in 18. That means technically you took 2 energy units from another power station or from another company. And so basically, as part of your bill inside the cost of the energy, is you put a little bit into a large pot that every month basically the regulator dishes out to whichever power company or power station did produce it. So effectively they get the money of how much energy was being consumed or how much they took out. Yeah. So everything's nice and clean either. And there is a little bit more in the system than what is required, because of course, if there wasn't, then there'll be brownouts. And of course we don't want that. And unlike for gas, now this is the different part, for gas, we don't have a unified gas network, except we do. So we don't have a national grid for gas, but on all intents and purposes, we do. So it's not called a unified, you know,
because every household is connected to the gas supply, and they're all connected to basically where it goes in. So basically, there is effectively a grid, isn't there?
Yes. So there is a grid. So they do operate the same thing of sort of how much gas is supplied into the system, and then how much gas is then used, and that's how the meters work and collaborate. So that's how you're basically being judged on how much energy usage you've got. Right. So that's how it all works. Now, the point is, of course, with this meter readings of two people, they can say, right, we're going to put the price of how much unit per energy or how much unit per therm there is. And they might say something daft, like it might be for gas, it might be something like 10p and electricity, some, you know, 25. And another company might say, right, we're going to do 4p for our gas because we're getting it cheaper. And, you know, we might say it's 27p for our electricity because, of course, you know.
So this was going wrong, wasn't it? So this is where this, basically, the regulator came in with this price cap.
Yeah, so, I said the government forced the regulator or tasked the regulator to basically to regulate the energy or the gas, natural gas market for consumers in relation to there was so much price variation that, you know, there wasn't much going on. So they decided to introduce this price cap. This is how much a gas company or energy supplier can charge per unit of gas or per unit of electricity. So this is such things of, you know, and that counts towards the percentage of how much they can charge. So let's pretend it's sort of, well, let's use the current figures of the last gas that the time we're in now. It's at 7p.
For gas, so every unit of gas costs
7p. And so
every unit of electricity costs
is something like
28p.
And so
approximately.
Because the gas company works in the infinitesimals because of how big they are. But anyway, so they take that 7p. Now, Ofgem do allow the companies to make a profit on that gas cap. So they're allowed to, everybody's allowed to put a penny on the price. But so technically no more. Right. So now we're sort of, now they're charging 8p per unit of energy or per gas.
And on your gas bill, they will actually publish what that is. Now, that's this daily variable rate. Now, what you can do is you can talk to your gas or electricity supplier and say, well, can you come up with a better deal for me? Rather than me pay basically the basic price and it goes up or down or whatever, can we take a gamble with a fixed rate? Now, we'll pay this amount and it may be slightly more than it is now, but in the future, the price may go up and therefore my price will be sort of cheaper and I'm going to be slightly better off.
So, yeah, so what the, so this is, so the everything in relation, so if you fix rate is, let's say you fix your price and you so predict, I'm going to say gas is going to only go up to 9p. So you're paying more, but even if it goes up, then you're winning. If it doesn't, then you're losing. So that's how the gas company sits. It's basically a gamble on what's happening.
But the gamble is, in fact, set up by the companies, and they set up what their fixed rates are going to be. So let's suppose the company knows that gas is going to go up, and they know roughly how much it's going to go up. So they choose a price such that at the moment you're going to pay more money for, perhaps if you fix it for 2 years, you're going to pay more money for this year, but you'll pay, by paying the same amount of money and the price has gone up, you'll be paying less money next year. So I did this and I fixed my gas a year ago and I fixed it at a little bit more than I was paying. So I was then paying 5.5p. Now it's gone up to 7p. So I'm actually buying my gas a little bit cheaper. But now for October, the regulator said, well, the price is actually going to effectively double to 15p. So for the next few months after that, because this price is fixed every 3 months, then I'm going to be making, you know, a profit because I made a gamble with the gas company. They said this is their rate. They made a prediction and they're losing out on it. And I'm buying in gas slightly cheaper.
Yeah. And so you've got to understand, unfortunately, for the companies, well, which is a bit, they're a bit naughty and bad, of course, is there is a price cap, but there is no minimum price. And so technically, the companies could actually charge less than the cap. Except they won't. So the cap is effectively the maximum price they can actually charge for the. And so, of course, all the companies are going to pay that maximum price because, you know, unfortunately, if you're, you know, depends how you look at it, you know, they can't charge any more. So why wouldn't they charge less? You know, because they're, you know, their nice argument is, of course, the wholesale gas is rather expensive at the moment.
Well, when I fixed my gas price, this was before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And so they didn't know at that point the gas prices were going to go up. They predicted it might go up a little bit. So, yeah, I was paying a little bit more. And then this wholesale price of gas has skyrocketed because Russia, which supplies a lot of Europe with its gas, can actually turn the sort of the tap off, and they've been getting stroppy because they don't like the sanctions. And a way of getting back at Europe and the rest of the world is by sort of causing problems. And so if you're causing us grief, we'll cause you grief, and they can hurt the Europeans where it really hurts, which is in the energy market.
Yes. Because it's one of those major things because, of course, the whole of Europe is trying to transition to carbon zero, which is basically they're trying to get rid of all the fossil fuels, and this is doing power, getting their power from renewables such as, wind turbines and whether or not. And then they also classified recently that nuclear power to be a renewable source. I'm not sure where the renewable part of nuclear power is.
But it's carbon neutral.
It is clean. It's carbon neutral. So it's one of those odd things where, you know, not necessarily renewable, but it is carbon neutral. So we've still got over that one. Anyway, so what the gas industry has foreseen is that Europe is going to transition. It was planning to transition slowly and gradually by 2050 to a more green, clean, and less carbon intensive power. And unfortunately, with the war in Russia, not war in Russia, the war in Ukraine by Russia, that the gas market or the wholesale price of natural gas is volatile, so volatile that all the European countries have now slashed their targets to be carbon neutral from 2050 down to, I say maximum.
As much as they can, really.
As much as they can. Well, some of them have said they want to do it by 2030. Which is the longest period of action. And then some are actually saying, right, we're actually going to do that now and say by the year 2025, we're going to be we're not going to be needing any fossil fuels or base power. And, you know, and so they're hopefully trying to bet on lots of the electrification that's happening, you know. Things like, do you need a gas stove anymore when you've got an electric hob? And it's those sorts of ideas that your boiler system can be run on electric as opposed to purely gas. Now,
well, we're hoping to get rid of all this basic sort of use of gas anyway, aren't we?
Yes.
At the present, 50% of the UK's energy comes from gas. Now, none of that comes really from Russia. And in fact, we even got a little bit earlier this week from Australia. They sent us some
liquefied natural gas,
which we can't store much of. But so we can send down the gas pipe network across to Europe where they can store it and they can use it. And if we want to, we'll be able to take some of it back a bit later on in the year if we want to, when it's colder and we need this. So the whole country is transitioning to that. But if we're trying to get some gas from Australia, then, well, it does cost quite a lot of money to send a ship round sort of, well, halfway around the world. So the wholesale price of gas, which is basically in the whole, you know, the whole world sort of fixes the price of gas. And so if one supplier, Russia, is causing a lot of problems, therefore they can sort of put the whole price of gas for the whole world up. And this is wrecking not just the UK economy and the European economy, but everyone's economy.
Yeah, they were talking about, so China's trying to decoal itself. But of course, with the price of gas going up, they've actually gone back and turned up its coal power plants because, of course, they're trying to transition to nice gas turbines. And now they've got the problem of gas is now the same price as coal, or more precisely, coal is cheaper than the gas, which wasn't previously. And so they're sort of going, you know, we've got these coal power, we'll buy more coal. Now, there's an issue in that. It's because, of course, the major supplier of coal is Australia, and China and Australia are not talking. So they've got power problems because, of course, they can't get the gas because it's too expensive. They can't get the coal because no one wants to sell them any coal. And so, yeah, they've got problems down the line. But it's this whole energy crisis that they've got this problem with. And it's just the need for, I wouldn't say clean power, but it is just raw electricity to supply their ever-growing economy. And it's like, you know, it's everywhere, you know. And unfortunately, it is the fact that sort of this wholesale price of gas, which is sort of determined by basically supply and demand, of there is less gas being produced. Now, whether or not that's an issue, because we'll talk about that in a second, but there is this huge demand for gas, or at least for power, and of course the supply of natural gas is being limited. Now, I want to throw you another point across. Did you know that European stockpiles of natural gas are approximately 80%? And that's because, of course, they've been stockpiling for the winter because, you know, supply is very low and basically they want to store as much as they can.
But this is also traditional. They normally do this anyway.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. This is not a big thing. It's just a keep. Yeah. But it's more the sort of the price. And they sort of were going to decommission lots of gas storage facilities, but they're not. Now, the next thing, of course, is Russia, natural gas storage is reaching critical, I say critical point. It's over 90% full. And that's just because, you know, they're preparing for winter as normal as, you know, everybody else.
But they're not supplying so much to Europe deliberately.
Deliberately. And so, unfortunately, what they're doing is they're venting or burning off the natural gas that they're producing because they can't sort of stop producing. They can't just turn the tap off and say no more production.
This is spite, effectively. You know, we're not supplying Europe. We haven't got anywhere to put the extra gas, so we're actually burning it. And they're basically just heating the atmosphere.
Yes, so it's not burning in a power plant. They literally are just over the wells. They are just, you know, venting it upwards and just having it lit. And so, you know, you sort of say there's a supply and demand problem, and yet you go, but Russia's literally burning the supply. And, you know, I understand why they're doing it, because, of course,
out of spite,
because Europe basically has got these sanctions and they don't want the gas necessarily from Russia. Don't get me wrong, we want the gas, but it's sort of, you know, Europe pays a lot of money for the gas to Russia, and Russia's then taking that money and having a war in Ukraine, which we don't want or don't like. And so how do we stop the war in Ukraine? Well, the answer is if we supply or get rid of the Russian money, then they might not have any money to supply the weapon. Yeah, that sort of idea. But of course, that relates to we're not buying the gas in from Russia, and so Russia basically doesn't have any place to put it. And so they're basically laughing in his face, saying, we've got so much gas, we're basically burning. But the next part of all that, of course, is that Russia isn't a nice producer of gas, because, of course, they can't turn their production off. Now, as I say, we're transitioning to a carbon zero world. And of course, that means that eventually no one will have use for Russian gas at all. Yeah, as in, you know, let's say by the new century, right? No one will have use for natural gas anymore, apart from a little bit of chemical, but that's a little bit we can deal with. And so their money will dry up, and sort of, you know, this is the whole problem with, of course, the petrol industry, which is very related to the gas market, but not heavily, because of course, you know, they're two different products, but they're, you know, they're mined the same and the same way. So it's not, you know, there might be a natural gas well one place and a oil well next door to it, but yeah. But those are points can be seen as sort of, you know, we won't be needing those resources as much down the line. And so, you know, the little bit of, say, natural gas we've got in the North Sea, that will likely be supplying the needs of natural gas. And this is sort of chemical feedstock. This is actually not for just burning for power. This is actually using the resource as a, you know, as a resource, as opposed to just burn it. You know, we will have enough to supply our needs for chemicals, you know, well beyond our needs for power. But it is this critical point of, we have this issue of, we're burning things for power when we've got better ways to produce the power.
Okay, so at the moment in the UK, the cost of electricity is 28p per unit, approximately. And in October, that's going to basically double to 52 pence a unit, plus the bit that the government are going to allow, sort of the standing charge and a few other things. When they talk about a price cap, they talk about the average family, about how much the average family is going to spend. So if you spend £2,000 on electricity at the moment, then you should be probably paying about double that when they sort of put in this thing. So this rise, they talk about these funny numbers about this cap, but what they should be really talking about is the cost of each unit of energy. So electricity is at 28p at the moment, it's going to go up to 52p, and gas is at 7p and is going to go up to 15p. Why is electricity more expensive? Because a lot of electricity is generated from the gas.
Now, I was reading an article, and there's a question of, the gas companies or the energy suppliers are giving out lots of green tariffs. And in theory, these are renewable sources of power tariffs, that you're just getting 100% renewable power. Then why, of course, is, if I'm getting, say, 100% renewable power, then why, of course, is my power going up? Because, of course, I'm not using gas at all to have my power generated. And unfortunately, the problem with that statement is that it's not, how is the price of power or electricity defined? And it is something defined as the power of how much the cost of gas is to generate that power and to supply the, to deal with that, create that electricity. So they sort of, there's the price of electricity. So any new electricity that comes in is, of course, the same electricity because it's matched. And so you can't tell which electricity source it came from. So it could have been renewable or could not have been. And so that's why the price of green electricity is going up in relation to the same cost as sort of, natural gas electricity, is because, of course, once it's in the grid, no one can tell the difference between the two units of energy, you know, whether it's one green or not. So they can't tell you whether you've got exactly green, but they can make the assumption and guess, but that's why those two things are related, which is unfortunate, because of course, if you are next to a wind turbine and you're just getting the power from it, you know exactly you're 100% renewable, and therefore your gas price shouldn't be inside the gas cap. Now, the next point I want to put in relation to all that is that how the different tariffs around. So if you are on a green tariff, then your gas price or your price of electricity might not actually be going up, because, of course, off-gen, or this gas cap, which is everything to talk about, that's only the, what was it, the default standard rate.
It's your variable rate that's going on, the day-to-day rate, rather than you actually fix the rate. So for my gas, I said I fixed it, but my electricity, when I looked at fixing that, the company wanted me to spend an awful lot more. And so let's say I'm spending £2,000 this year on electricity. They forecast that I would be expected to pay £4,000, double effectively. And if I want to go to the future, then it was going to cost me sort of perhaps even more. And if I want to take one of those out now, well, they're looking at, well, price has gone up this much. Is it going to go up more? Is it going to go up even more? And so they're fixing my price at sort of around about sort of now, not double, but £4,000 a year more. So I decided it was better to go for the follow the variable rate, because effectively I'm just paying what the cost of the gas stroke electricity is at the moment. But even that's not quite true.
No, it as I said, this is the whole problem, where there are so many different tariffs that they're monitoring, and that, you know, you really do need to look at sort of what tariff you are on, to whether or not, and look at that cap price, because of course they do cap them at different levels and different cost things, because of course it is in relation to all these things, you know. But the only one, you know, they don't talk about fix, because obviously that's fixed between you and the supplier, and the regulator doesn't deal with that, because that's a contract between you two. But when you're a variable, there is no contract, so therefore the regulator is dealing with setting the price. But you might find, you sort of, you know, oh, I'm on something daft like a economy 7, in which case then you have a cap price during the day, and then a separate cap price during night, because of course that's what economy 7 is, cheaper at night than it is the day. And so
basically, because people aren't using electricity during the night, and they need to sort of get people to use as much electricity as they can at night to basically keep all the nuclear reactors going at maximum,
or their, I wouldn't say maximum, but their minimum. But nuclear powers don't, they're a very good steady amount of electricity. They can't go bump up and down. That's the whole price of the energy mix. So sort of, you want peak electricity, but you also want base electricity. And so, yeah, that's why the models of, but of course, you could find economy 7 has two different price caps, or economy 10 has two different. Yeah, you've got to go back to your bill, find out what your tariff is called, then you can find out what tariff type it is, and then see what the cap is. And of course, on your bill, you should know what your price per therm is, and you can see what that level is in relation to them. What we've said is that the gas is going, the variable standard gas rate is going up from 7p to 15, and the variable standard rate for electricity is going up from 28 to 52p per kilowatt. And so as long as you find out which specific rate and things in the gas up, you know, type those into then Google, you go to the Ofgem website, it does report what they are. There's so many that you just have to literally type in your rate and your tariff, and it will outcome whatever the gas cap, if you are being capped, because of course some of them are uncapped, as in you can get an uncapped electricity, because admittedly that's ones for more industry.
The caps are basically for the population, ordinary sort of homes, to make sure that they're not paying basically too much. The caps that they talk about in the government, they talk about how much these things are. This is just for an average family in an average house. But of course, nobody lives in an average house, really. We tried to do that for us to work out what we were on, and the only figures we could get were three people living in a same sort of house that we're doing, whereas I've got four adults. So it's difficult to try and work out. All we can be really sure about is it's going up. So running over time now, what can you do about this?
In relation to...
Cutting your bill.
Well, the critical thing, of course, is, you know, making sure you are on a decent low tariff or your cap to, or cap, yeah, that's fine. But if you can fix it, you make sure you fix it low and predict it.
But use less electricity is the simple answer. Turn off your lights when you're not using them. So if you're in a room and you're not using it, well, just turn off the lights. You know, do you need to leave your computer on when you're not using it? Can you turn it off? Can you put your heating on perhaps a degree lower? Do you need it on for as long as you have got it on? The problem is that a lot of this is really worrying some people, and some people are really frightened that they don't understand what's going on. It's taking us a best part of a week going through, looking at all this, trying to talk to different people to see if we could understand it and make it really quite simple to understand. But my mother still doesn't understand this, and her idea of worrying about the electricity and the gas is, well, can I have a house that's unheated? Can I sit in the dark all the time?
Yes, and the next problem with all that is, because this is the one for this coming up, this up to winter, but of course they're looking at it now every 3 months. And so they're going to make these predictions every 3 months of what the sort of price cap will go up to or down to. They can come down, they can reduce the cap. So we're not saying that. It's then people then forecasting what's going to happen in the year 2023.
And the forecasters are just basically plucking numbers out of the air. They're guessing that the gas price is going to continue to go up, and so therefore this price cap is going to be set at this value or that value, whereas in actual fact it won't, the next cap won't be set until about November, December time, when Ofgem look at the market, they see that we're paying 52p, but to carry on we maybe have to pay 70p or 90p or maybe
51
or 30p.
Yeah, it's all about...
We don't know.
Yeah, it's all about what's happening.
You've been listening to the Going Green podcast, looking at our little energy crisis and the, basically, as we like to call it, really, the cost of living crisis. And this is affecting a lot of the world. So although we've given you a UK example, you will find that wherever you are, you've got the same type of problem. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another podcast about going green. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Bye.